In Australia, Christians are free to worship and express their faith without any fear of persecution or backlash. But in other parts of the world, that's not the case. In so many nations, there are laws against speaking Christian beliefs, holding a Bible, and worshipping. And in some parts of the world, there's even the death penalty. Voice of the Martyrs is one of many organisations that are doing good work around the world to support those believers in persecuted nations. Tom Carr is the general manager of Voice of the Martyrs Australia. He's just returned from South Korea, where he's been working with Christians from the very closed and very persecuted nation of North Korea. He's in the studio with me now. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you very much, Claire. Great to be here.
Thanks for joining us. I'd like you to start just by giving us a bit of insight into what Voice of the Martyrs does around the world.
Voice of the Martyrs is focused on helping persecuted Christians. What we do is try to help persecuted Christians maintain their faith and grow in their faith. We equip them with Bibles. We help them when they suffer persecution. Often they're beaten. We've got medical funds to help people who suffer in that way. We've got different orphanages in countries around the world for kids whose parents may have been killed because of their belief. We've got funds that help prisoners and their families. So if a man goes to prison for his belief, we'll help the family just live their lives until the man returns, and then help reintegrate him into their lives and help them deal with the problems that they face through that.
Mm. And I believe that Voice of the Martyrs works in about 50 nations around the world. What are some of those countries, parts of the world that you work in?
That's correct. So we work everywhere from the Middle East, Northern Africa, Southeast Asia, anywhere that persecution of Christians occurs. But the Australian operation is based mainly around Southeast Asia and the Middle East are our big ones. Some in Northern Africa, Nigeria, we've got a very big presence.
Now, you've just been overseas working to support Christians from North Korea. Tell us a little bit about that nation and what kind of things are experienced by people living in North Korea, particularly Christians?
In North Korea, they are taught a very different theology. They're taught that their people are created in their leader's image, and they worship a trinity, which is the leaders and their wives. And they have a very skewed version of the world. So there basically are no Christians in North Korea that are brought up as Christians. There are people who are evangelized to outside North Korea and then go back in. But it's a very tough place for people to be a Christian. So if in the north of North Korea, people are caught with a Bible or are found to be evangelizing, it used to be instant death penalty. Then it changed. Often people would be imprisoned for anywhere up to 15 years. And now it's back more to the death penalty in northern North Korea. The southern part, which is more affluent, the death penalty is not as common, but Christianity is not a normal thing.
Mm. So what were you doing when you travelled to South Korea? I believe you were meeting with Christians who had come from the north.
That's correct. So in our South Korean office, we've got a thing called Underground University, which is ministering to North Koreans who have had some exposure to the Bible and are now Christians, but need to learn the fundamentals of Christianity. So often people will come out of North Korea into places like northern China and meet up with missionaries and be taught a very limited amount of Christianity because there are language barriers and that sort of thing. So when they get to South Korea, where we're able to work with them, they sometimes are misinformed or have a misshapen understanding of Christianity. So we work with them through these two-year courses they are to give them just a more in-depth theology around their Christianity and to equip them to then go on to evangelize to other North Koreans that come out of North Korea.
Okay, and can you tell us a story of perhaps one person that you met while you were over there and the way they live their life?
Yeah, one woman that we met when she was a 12-year-old girl. She used to have to go and collect wood to sell to people. Basically, if they got enough wood, they could sell it, and that would buy one meal for the family. One day, she collected her wood, but was unable to sell it. There was no one with any money at all. But one man had a loaf of bread that he offered to trade her for the bundle of wood. Well, she did that. She made the trade, and she'd never seen bread before. So she decided to have a bite of that bread. And she loved it so much, and she was starving. So she ate the whole loaf. Mm-hmm. Then she felt bad that she'd eaten the whole loaf, and she knew she couldn't face her family. So she fled. She walked for about 3 days, which got her to the river between North Korea and China. She crossed the river on a man's back and got into China as a 12-year-old girl. Various things happened, and she ended up living with a Christian missionary family in China who adopted her as one of their own. So she then grew up as part of this family and grew to be a Christian. Now she's come to South Korea, and she's broadcasting radio via shortwave into North Korea. We broadcast 90 minutes a day into North Korea, and she's one of the announcers. She has the benefit of speaking North Korean and having an understanding of the people that are going through these things, so she's the perfect person to do that job.
Wow, that's an incredible story, and it's all because she ate a loaf of bread and couldn't face telling her family that she didn't share with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which shows just how desperate things are in that nation, doesn't it?
It is. There are people starving to death there as we speak.
Mm. I want you to also tell me about these balloons that you're dropping with Bibles into the southern part of North Korea. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we have a program where we launch balloons, and there are a number of people doing similar things, but we've had a group in Melbourne who have been working on the science of this, and they've helped us to predict with remarkable accuracy when to launch these balloons, what the weather conditions need to be, where we need to be located, and the exact spot that these will burst and drop Bibles. So we launch balloons filled with hydrogen, and each one has 20 Bibles in it. It's a New Testament plus Genesis in a soft cover Bible, and it also has two MP3 players with the Bible on it. We launch these balloons in South Korea and attach GPSs to some of them, and we can track exactly where they go. When they get up to 27,000 meters, they burst and the Bibles fall out in this spot in North Korea that we're aiming for. And so we got to watch these. We tracked them as they went and as they burst, and got to see exactly where these Bibles landed in North Korea. Now, as I said earlier, that's the more affluent area. So it's not so much putting these people to the death sentence if they pick up a Bible.
That's right, because I've heard that there's the death penalty for having a Bible. So, you know, in essence, you could be putting someone to their death.
Exactly right. And in this area, it's quite a different thing. It's
okay.
It's not a positive thing for them to be caught with a Bible, but it's not the same gravity as if they were in the northern part of North Korea.
Okay, so these people are safe in terms of there's no death penalty in that area where they are being dropped.
That's correct.
And you mentioned they're soft cover, so hopefully they won't hurt when they hit.
Yeah, that's right. They come down fairly slowly.
Okay.
We tested a few dropping them from the top of the building that we were staying in, and they do come down fairly soft. So.
Look, have you heard any stories of people who've received these, or do you have to just trust that something's happening when they hit the ground?
We actually have to trust that something's happening because of the area that it is, there is so little movement that we have no contact with people in those areas. So we trust that God is using them for his purpose.
Who knows what God is doing? We hear about places like North Korea and feel quite powerless. Can we make a difference?
We certainly can. We've got projects running all the time, so if you wanted to donate to them, you can do so on vom.com.au. But what we really want people in Australia to do is to become more aware of what is happening in these places. We need churches to be praying for them. We need individuals to be praying for all these cases of persecution around the world. But we can only do that if we know that they're happening. So I would strongly urge people to get a greater understanding of what is going on. We hear a little bit on the news, but it's only a very tiny portion of the reality of what is going on in these places. So I urge people to get onto our website, sign up for our newsletter, and as well as any other organizations that are doing similar things. Just make yourself aware of them. share it with your churches, your prayer groups, and pray about it all the time, because these are our brothers and sisters in Christ. They need your help.
Do you have a sense of how prayers make a practical difference?
Yeah, absolutely. We when we meet with people as in restricted nations, they invariably are so moved by the knowledge that there are people in other countries around the world praying for them, that they're not abandoned. So often people feel alone in their persecution, and they feel that God's left them and the whole world's left them just to fend for themselves. As soon as they know that there is a great deal of support happening all around the world for them, it changes their outlook on things. It strengthens their faith. It gives them so much more purpose and so much more trust that they are doing the right thing and that God is in control and God is looking after them.
Well, that's good to hear. Thanks so much, Tom, for coming in and shedding a light for us on what's happening in some of the other parts of the world. I'm really glad there's people like you and Voice of the Martyrs doing this work to support other Christians. So thanks for your time.
Always a pleasure. Thank you very much, Claire.